We're at the end of Galatians. This will be the last message on Galatians. And personally, for me, it has been... I've preached it before, I've done it before, but not like this. Paul's definitely given us a message. And it's one that I believe that we needed to hear. And future generations will also need to hear. Because we all tend to fall into that trap. That trap of legalism, that trap of just saying, if I follow the rules, I'm going to be okay with God. But that's not right. Paul made it very, very clear that true freedom comes when we realize that we are no longer under bondage of the law, but that we are under His bondage. Oh, we're still under bondage, but only to Him. Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. That's where we'll be going this morning. Once upon a time, an old man and his son were on their way to the market. The old man was leading a donkey, and the boy was following behind him, and they went through the first village. There the people called the old man a fool for not riding the donkey. So he climbed upon the animal's back. So in the second village they went through, the people said the old man was cruel to let the child walk while he enjoyed the ride. So the old man got off and he put the boy on the donkey. In the third village, the people accused the boy of being lazy for making the old man walk. So the man got on the donkey with the boy. And in the fourth village, the people felt sorry for the donkey because he was made to carry two people. And so when the old man and the son arrived at the market, the old man was seen carrying the donkey. It's funny, but too often we live our lives like that, trying to please others. Some people feel a need to impress others, but all they end up doing is carrying a heavy load. My dear friends, you can be free from the need to impress others. You can be free from the pressure to perform. You can be free from worrying about what other people think. You say, Brother Randy, how? How? I want people to like me. I want people to respect me. How can I free myself from the burden of trying to impress at least some of the people in my life? With that in mind, Paul writes the last part of his letter, a very personal part of the letter, and I'll tell you why. In Galatians 6:11, look what it says. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Now, usually the Apostle Paul will dictate his letters to a secretary. That was his MO. That's what he would do. He would dictate it and the secretary would write it for him. So probably, if it's like me, so they could read it. be able to read it. And at the end of the letter, typically, he would take the pen and he would write it himself, so it would prove that, you know, show that he actually wrote it. Usually, it was a short comment. But in this letter, 8 verses long, which means that he was trying very desperately to show them how important this was, that he was passionate about what he had just written, what had been written. And obviously it says what big writing he has. Obviously we think that he had some, we talked about way early on, that he probably had some form of malaria or something that caused his eyesight to fade. But whatever the case was, he wrote it to emphasize how important this was. This is important stuff. Galatians 6:12, he continues, and he says, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised. only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You see, the cross was a cruel and terribly offensive thing, especially in polite company. Now, this is going to cause you. It was something you didn't talk about. There are things in polite society today that you just don't talk about. Well, I'm not sure how much of that's left, but there are things that you just don't talk about. It makes people uncomfortable, so you don't talk about it. This was one of those things there. In Jesus' day, crosses were reserved for the worst of criminals. They were reserved for the scum of society. It was a horrible instrument of torture and of death, and so horrible the Roman citizens by law could not be hung on the crosses, only the barbarians, those who were not Romans. So when the Christians began to proclaim that Christ had to die on a cross for our sins, many people were offended. What do you mean my sins demand the penalty of the cross? I'm not that bad. How dare you suggest that I deserve crucifixion and that Christ had to pay that kind of penalty for my sin? And that's the kind of reaction they would get when they were preaching the gospel and said, Christ died on the cross for you. What do you mean for me? Well, he took your place. Well, I'm not that bad. Go to a Roman citizen and it would have offended them. That's the kind of reaction many people had to the preaching of the cross. Very offensive. And because of it, many Christians found themselves hanging on that cross. Today, crosses are ornate objects. They're used basically for decorations. But in Jesus' day, people didn't even want to think about them, because they were cruel instruments of torture. On the other hand, now this is going to freak you out. On the other hand, circumcision was a cool thing to talk about. Okay, that don't make sense to us today, but it did to them. That was important, and they talked about it all the time. If you were a man, circumcision meant that you belonged to the right group. And if you were uncircumcised, you were considered an outsider. Okay, this is the Jews were circumcised and the Gentiles weren't. And remember, these were mixed churches. Yeah, they had Jews and Gentiles in them. And so some of the church leaders began to compel. They began to compel the uncircumcised to be circumcised. Wow. Now just think about the ramifications of that. You're a man, and all of a sudden they one of the requirements, they change the rules and they say, now you got to be circumcised. It ain't happening. And there were a lot of folks who were upset, especially Paul, who preached what? Freedom from the law. And they were free. They didn't want, the church leaders did not want to be offensive. Instead, they wanted to be accepted by the right people. So they stopped preaching the cross and they started preaching circumcision. You see where they would do that? Pressure's on too much. You know, maybe we just preach circumcision. Everybody likes that subject. Everybody likes it. There's no problem with that. But man, you start preaching that cross and we're going to start getting it from everyone. They were trying to avoid persecution. But that put them in bondage to the need to impress. That put them in bondage to worrying about what other people think. And that put them in bondage to the pressure to perform. So if you want to be free from that kind of bondage, then stop avoiding persecution. Yeah, isn't that something? Stop avoiding it. Stop living your life just to avoid being hurt. Stop dodging the pain, the ridicule, or the shame that you think others might put on you. You say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. Yes, you do. Try proclaiming yourself to be a Christian today. Maybe not here. Maybe go up into New York. Go to Los Angeles. And proclaim yourself to be a Christian. And not conform. God thinks the world of you. Loves you. What does it matter what others think? Some of the most vibrant missionaries are medical doctors serving only in the lonely outposts of the Arab world. These physicians and nurses are aware that in winning a Muslim to Christ, you know, I would love to win a Muslim to Christ. I think that'd be awesome. But when you do that, they condemn their converts to being ostracized and persecuted. Their life changes. It's like a Catholic who converts to being a Baptist. See what happens in their family. See what happens. And in Islam, it is a death sentence. It's not just kicking you out of the family, shunning you. It's a death sentence. And so that's what, when you convert a Muslim to Christianity, that's what they're facing. Someone asked, well, how do you think I feel in longing to lead people to Christ? How do you think you feel? I think I feel in longing to lead people to Christ, knowing that the moment my patients receive Christ, they face a life and death contempt in this culture. What do you think it makes me feel? And they said, well, it must seem pointless. He replied, no, that is the point of the gospel. It's what Jesus meant when he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, we don't live in a Muslim culture here, but we do live in a culture that has become increasingly hostile to Christianity. We may not be killed yet for following Christ, but we are ridiculed, and we are at times considered narrow-minded bigots by some. Even so, that should not stop us from following Christ. Because the only thing that really matters is our relationship with Him. And not what other people think of us. And such a relationship sets us free from having to impress others. Because He is already impressed with us. So if we want to be free, I mean truly free, we must make our lives about following Christ, knowing that when we follow Christ, there will be persecution. Not avoiding pain. If you want to be free from the need to impress, you want to be free from the pressure to perform, then stop avoiding persecution. You can't always get what you want. You can't always please everyone. And when you try, you make everybody mad. When there's only one person that you need to impress, then you know the rules. Then you know how to do that. And He's shown us that. Stop trying to impress others. We also need to stop trying to promote yourselves. Stop trying to promote ourselves. Stop doing things just to have something to brag about. Stop living just to pump up your own ego. And that was the problem with some of the religious leaders in Paul's day. In verse 13, he says this, "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." Now, I hear it all the time amongst other preachers and some church members of other churches. We're doing great. We baptized 12 the other day. You know, and they're just, yeah, and they're always talking about, you know, look, that's great. We had 10 join the church the other day. That's great. That's no problem with that. But that's not what we should be boasting in. What we should be boasting is that the gospel is faithfully proclaimed. What he says here to them, these religious leaders who are believers in Jesus Christ, yet they hung on to the law and all the rules and all the stuff that went with the law. He said, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They're hopped up on themselves. He says, they don't even keep the law themselves. They promote the law. You got to be circumcised. You gotta, can't eat this meat, can't do this, and can't do that. But they don't even keep the law themselves. But they just want you to keep it so they can boast. What do? Well, collect the foreskins of the new converts so they can have something to show their friends. It's all a show. It's an outward pretense without any inward reality, and it puts them in great bondage. In other words, said, isn't it great we're all circumcised now? No, it's not great. And they were boasting in that. And it was just a step towards full law, because that's what they were comfortable with. And it was easy. They didn't have to face the persecution with. George MacDonald once described somebody in a book. This man was on the very outs, very, very successful, but on the inside he was very empty. He owned his own business. He had the best section in the Yellow Pages, and he made a lot of money, had a big house, a sports car, everything that money could buy, but he was a driven man, and he worked 20 hours a day, destroying his own family and his own health in the process. And by his own admission, he could never do enough. He could never earn enough to be satisfied. Everything had to get bigger, better, and more impressive. Why? What was driving him? Well, in fact, his father told him regularly when he was young, you're a bum. You'll always be a bum. You'll be nothing better. So by his 40s, when he's in his 40s, he committed just disproving what his dad had, that labeled his dad had given him. And after his father's death, he was going to demonstrate with unimpeachable evidence that he was not a bum. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, your heavenly Father has no such opinion of you. He knows you're not a bum. In fact, he's pretty proud of you. Because your relationship with Jesus Christ, His Son, He is proud to have you into His family. You have nothing to prove to Him or anyone else. You're free from the pressure to perform, so stop living in that kind of bondage. Stop living just to promote yourself. Don't seek to impress others with yourself. It's not important. Here's the dirty little secret. If you live for God, you're going to impress others anyway. If you follow Him, you're going to impress others, because they're going to see Him through you. But so who are we to impress? Be impressed only with your Savior. Let the sacrifice He made for you on the cross, let it amaze you. Doesn't it sometimes in songs we sing, we're talking about singing about the cross, and maybe a picture flashes up and all of a sudden you just want to cry because all of a sudden you realize what He did for you? Doesn't that touch you, move you in some way? I believe it should. We should stand amazed about how much He loved us. Loves us. Boast not in what you can do for God, but instead boast in what He has already done for you. Look in verse 14. It says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Let the sacrifice He made for you on the cross just amaze you. You see, next to the cross, next to the love of Christ demonstrated, The trinkets of this world mean very little. The cross sets us free. It sets us free from self. Galatians 2:20, by the way. It sets us free from the flesh. Galatians 5:24. It sets us free from the world. Verse 6:14. We are free from the bondage of having to impress others. We don't need their acceptance anymore, for in the cross we find that God has already accepted us. People today don't understand the value of the cross. For many, the cross is only a really nice story with a happy ending, the resurrection. Easter will come around soon enough, and everybody will be talking about Easter, and they'll have their old platitudes. And we'll be telling our stories about how Jesus died and how he was in the grave for 3 days and he was resurrected. It's a great little story. Except it's not just a story. It's real. It happened. He didn't have to happen. He wanted to do that for us. Why don't they realize that in Christ Jesus, in 2 Corinthians 5:19, that in Christ Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself. Not inputting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the world of reconciliation. The cross made it possible for God to accept us as holy and righteous in his sight. The law kept telling everybody, hey, you do this and God's not going to be pleased. You do this and God's not going to be pleased. You're going to do this and it's constant. You can't please God by following the law. Every time I turn around, I sin. I do things I know I shouldn't do. I do not do things that I shouldn't do. I mean, it's crazy. I've sinned constantly. I could never please God. But when he went to the cross of Calvary, when he went there, he did it so that he could take those sins away so that we could be reconciled to him. And once you're reconciled, it's over. It's done. It made it possible for God to be proud of everyone who comes to him by faith in Christ Jesus. It made him possible for those who believed in him, who asked him into their hearts and their lives, to come and be saved. Not just once, but forever. That's who we're to be impressed with. If you're here today and you've never taken that step, I believe right now the Spirit of God is probably talking to you, saying you need to take that step. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the gospel touches people's hearts even when they don't want it to. So won't you do that right now if you hadn't done it already? Won't you come to God by faith in Christ Jesus today? Won't you trust Christ with your life right now? Just call upon him and ask him to save you from your sins. And then you will know the value of the cross far surpasses anything that this world has to offer. And it does. And then you'll realize, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My goodness. We get so caught up in this world. We get so impressed so easily by the things of this world. We get amazed by the technological advancements of this world, but yet God has done something. Christ has done something that should truly amaze us and that we should be impressed with. More than anything in the world, he went to the cross of Calvary. My friends, boast about the cross. Boast about what God has done for you in your life. Don't boast about what you've done for Christ. Don't boast about your own achievements, for in and of themselves, they're really meaningless. In Galatians 6:15, It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. The outward trappings of success mean very little. I drove around in a Dodge Charger for the last year. Everybody looked around and said, whoa, he's cool. Yeah, it wasn't mine. It looked good. It wasn't mine. I'm not happy about it, but it's taken back. My son took it back. So now I'm driving the wonderful Mountaineer again. Doesn't change anything. Not a thing. It doesn't make me bigger or smaller. It doesn't change anything about me. It's just a vehicle. You can say that about a house. You can say that about your bank account. You can say that about almost anything in this world. It does not change your stature, your relationship with God in any way. It's only what God is doing on the inside that counts. And if you put your faith in Christ, He is beginning to change you from the inside out. He's making you into a new creation. So boast about what God is doing inside you, not what you're doing on the outside. And then you will find peace. And then you'll find a deep sense of satisfaction and contentment. Circumcision doesn't count, doesn't matter. All these other things in this world really doesn't matter. But what is going on with God in your heart and your life today, that matters. Let's look in Galatians 6:16. Verse 16. For in 16? Sure, it's there. He says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. And upon the Israel of God. In other words, Jew and Gentile alike can find God's peace and mercy if they look to the cross of Christ. If they're focusing on the cross of Christ and not themselves. Anybody can find this deep sense of satisfaction if they just stop trying to impress others with themselves and start impressing themselves with what God is doing in their life. You know, there was a time early in our marriage, young kids, I got swept up into a multi-level marketing scheme, one of them that you probably have heard of. And it was really cool. Me and a buddy of mine, we decided to go in together, and we was gonna make our fortune. One of the downsides of it was they wanted your life for about 5 years. If you'll just dedicate your whole life for 5 years, focusing on making, and then you can help your church, you can help everything else. But because they would have these rallies and stuff on weekends, and I said, well, what about church? Well, you just put that off for 5 years. No. We both came to the decision that, you know, that was not right. It was hard to explain then. I understand then, but now I understand it. 5 years. But you know what? The freedom came when we said no to a driven lifestyle. Why? To have more money? To be rich? To impress people with what you have? And that's not, you know, what's really important is not the outward trappings of success. No, it's what God is doing for you on the inside, and because of the cross of Calvary, the cross of Jesus. And if you want true peace and freedom, stop boasting about yourself, stop boasting about your own achievements, and start boasting about the cross of Christ. It may cost you, and it probably will. In some way, if you do that, it's going to cost you. You may be persecuted, you may be ridiculed, even as Paul was. Because he says in verse 17, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Literally, the brand marks of Jesus. Paul was beaten, he was stoned, he was left for dead. His body had permanent scars because of what he suffered for Christ's sake. But Paul saw those scars as brand marks, labels, to be able to show, "I suffered for Christ's cause." You see, Paul was no slave to the law. Those marks he considered as brands of ownership to Christ. That's what he considered it. He was no slave to the law. Paul was no slave to the need to impress anyone else. And that's because he was Jesus' slave and he had the brand marks to prove it. So do you really want to be free from the pressure to perform? Do you really want to truly be free from worrying about what others think? Then don't boast about your own achievements, but rather boast about the cross. Boast about what Christ has done for you, not about what you've done for Christ. It may cost you plenty. You may not have the outward trappings of success. But only as you boast about the cross do you find real peace and mercy in your life. I'm going to read you a little story here that we're going to end on. You want to do this? You want to carry your cross? You want to give your life to Christ and you want to do just exactly what Paul wants to do? And you say, "I can do that." Maybe you can relate to this story. "Well, here I am, Lord. You said take up your cross and I'm here to do it. It's not easy, you know, this self-denial thing. I mean, go through with it though. Yes, sir, I will. I'll bet you wish more people were willing to be disciples like me. I've counted the cost. I've surrendered my life, and it's not an easy road. You mind if I look over these crosses? I'd kind of like a new one. I'm not fussy, but a disciple has to be relevant these days. And I was wondering, are there any of them that are vinyl padded? I'm thinking about attracting others, you see. And if I could show them a comfortable cross, I'm sure that I could win a lot more. Got to keep up with the population explosion and all. And I need something durable so I can treasure it always. Oh, is there that one that's sort of flat so it could thin into my coat? One shouldn't be too obvious with it. Funny, there doesn't seem to be much choice here. Just that coarse, rough wood. I mean, that would hurt. Don't you have something more distinctive, Lord? I can tell you right now, none of my friends are going to be impressed by this shoddy workmanship on this cross. They'll think I'm a nut or something, and my family would just be mortified. What's that? Well, it's either one of these or forget the whole thing. But Lord, I want to be your disciple. I mean, just being with you. That's all that counts. But life has to have a balance too. But don't you understand? Nobody lives that way today. Who's going to be attracted by this self-denial bit? I mean, I want to, but let's not overdo it. Start getting radical like this and they'll have to ship me off to the funny farm. You know what I mean? I mean, being a disciple is challenging and exciting and I want to do it, but I have some rights. You know, now let's see. No blood. Okay, I can't just stand the thought of that. Lord Jesus. Now, where do you suppose he went? That's what we do. We're doing exactly what Paul's warning against. We got to give it all to him. The last verse, I believe, means so much. Brethren, he's talking directly to them. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. As we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. But I know that we trap ourselves from the freedom that Christ wants for us. We trap ourselves in this little bubble of trying to please the world, boast about ourselves, when we should be boasting about Christ. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to hurt. We just want this gospel, this Christianity, that's all good. It's all loving and all kind, and it is. But they're not going to be all loving. The world's not going to be all kind to us. Are you prepared for that? Are you willing to give up the world, the outward trappings of the world, in order to truly let Christ work on your inside and change you? This morning as we sing, the Spirit of God, I believe, is living on your heart. Would you come to Him today? Would you say, Lord, I want you to change me? From the inside, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, right now is the time to do that. Let Him change you totally on the inside. Let Him give you a new spirit. Let Him give you a new heart. Let Him give you a new life. And He can do that. But you have to ask. Save children of God today. I think it's always a struggle for us every day to live our lives carrying His cross, living our lives the way He wants us. A struggle to impress, meaning to tell the world how impressed we are with Him. So as we sing this